in the KPBX studio, Tingstad and Rumble. What a lovely song. What is it?
It's called Lucinda.
Lucinda,
yeah.
Played by these two folks. Eric Tingstad and Nancy Rumble, we're going to spend some quality time, we hope. it's a snowy day. We're in the general store sitting around the Potbelly stove with a little coffee, and we're going to have a good time here for a while. And so since we're old people doing that, the first thing we have to do is start getting all reminiscent about everything. And so the big quantitative question, how long you guys been together?
It'll be 27 years this March.
Wow, okay. So there's a long-running duo that you've been doing. And I want to spend a little time with kind of what has happened to your worlds, to the music world, how through thick and thin you've kept
going
through.
We've had 27 years.
What's that?
We have 27 years on the air now.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll
have to spend that amount of time. And yes, and good morning, Nancy, too. Great to have you both here. So I guess you've probably had to tell the story many times, but what caused this unique duo of oboe and guitar to happen?
I think Eric thought it was a good idea. He's probably rethinking all of that.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I was...
Desperate.
I really needed a friend. It was 1985, and I had done a couple of solo guitar recordings and started to work on The Gift, the Christmas album, The Gift. Mm-hmm. And Nance and I had we'd met a couple years earlier, but we sort of got reunited by Spencer Brewer, who had notified me that Nancy had moved up into my area, and so we got together for a couple coffees and some playing, some afternoons, and then we got to work together just on The Gift. I don't think there was any real agenda, you know, but then when The Gift became as successful as it did, then all of a sudden there was an agenda. And
sure.
People started looking at us and asking us to record, and I think it was probably 80, you know, within a year, we were with Narada, you know, recording for them, and then we did 17 years with Narada Records.
Well,
I think part of it has got to do with the fact that it's such a unique sound. It's a unique mm-hmm. combination. People never really hear it. They still don't very often get to hear it.
Yeah.
So for years, we really shied away from saying it's a unique sound because people are always saying their sound is unique. But in point of fact, it actually kind of is. So.
And yet, beyond unique, it also works. Sure, there's plenty of unique sounds maybe that don't work, but what I want to actually focus on for a minute is the qualities each of you brought to this duo, so I'm going to make you talk about each other. So, Eric, you're a guitarist, and we mm-hmm. have certain assumptions about a guitarist. When you got an oboist in the group, what qualities did Nancy bring to this that made it obvious this was going to work?
We listened the same. I mean, we listen to differently to a lot of things, too, but people just hear differently and respond, and I think that's probably one of the biggest things is that it's just it was so easy for us to play together. It's really effortless, and that's not always the case, you know, with other mm-hmm. players because they just listen differently and respond differently and want to bring in different colors that maybe don't blend as much. And I just really... it's just great to have somebody you can tell that they're listening to what you're doing.
And what about some abilities such as, I assume, to not be always have to be tied to the printed page, for instance?
You mean in terms of reading the music?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of it. You know, you actually alluded to that. You guys? Oh, yeah, you guys don't need music stands. And mm-hmm. I think it's interesting sometimes that people will go, gosh, you guys don't need music stands. Mm-hmm. You don't read this music. I mean, we could.
Sure.
You know, we definitely go to paper a lot. Nancy sometimes a little bit more than I do with arrangements and stuff.
Yeah, but not bounded by it.
No.
Okay. Well, we're going to turn it right back around. And when you, a self-respecting oboist, signed on with a guitar player, what were you hoping for? What were you looking for?
Well, I had played with some guitar players prior to when I lived back on the East Coast, and I liked the combination of the sound of the instruments mm-hmm. with the guitar. But then moving out to the West Coast from the East Coast, I was at a point in my career where I had just moved out to the Pacific Northwest, and I had a baby, so I wasn't doing a whole lot of playing. And when Eric contacted me, it gave me an opportunity to say, okay, well, let's try this. And then we just really hit it off. I mean, again, his ability to really listen, enjoying different kinds of repertoire, the fact that we immediately went into working on Christmas music, which I love. I mean, mean, I still to this day will go out and get new Christmas CDs every year. And the fact that I think both of us at that point in our careers, we were in our early 30s, he'd had experience enough that we knew we were serious business people as well as musicians. And we just enjoyed playing as a duo, just that, that really scaled down sound field of two of us together as opposed to building up. So he had the ability, having been as a solo performer, you know, to bring that those great elements to, you know, playing together.
And then as a guitarist, too, you said you'd played with other guitarists. What about him as a guitarist? What did he bring that way?
Well, he, you know, his finger style picking was just a really, you know, refreshing to play that way, and an acoustic guitar as opposed to electric guitar. Before, I'd play with people who were primarily jazz-oriented, and Eric was into a much different style of playing. Sure. So he had an appreciation for classical music, which I did too, but expanding more into compositions that were not so much based on improvisation as they were really structuring compositions and refining them, going over and over. I think that's the other thing. We both really enjoy hammering details, you know. That's just part of it.
Just to make it really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and
probably to a fault sometimes, but
spending time with Tingsted and Rumble, who are playing tomorrow night in Sandpoint. And what about this whole issue of repertoire style? You know, we could spend the next 3 hours just on that. You said that you got on with Narada really quickly. Did that in what way did that define you, and in what way did it limit you by being on Narada? Either of those?
Oh, well, you know, that's an interesting question, because I've just been thinking a lot about that myself in terms of where Nancy and I are at right now after 27 years and the kind of music that we've kind of bounced back to. I've always been a real lover of Americana and country music and guitar twang. And when Nancy and I started playing together back in 85, the industry was at a point where that wasn't as celebrated as much. Even though you can go back to the mid-80s and find some amazing Merle Haggard recordings, that wasn't really kind of what was happening. The culture was going in some other directions. And we really sort of got swept up in the whole new acoustic Windham Hill Narada thing. And I don't know that, I don't know how to say this, that it's necessarily what we had intended. It was I've always said that the great things in life and in your music or just in general come from left and right field. You can't plan for the really, really cool things that happen. And you keep your focus on what you want. But so we kind of got swept up into this, and it went on for almost 20 years. Well, now that industry that we were in is pretty much defragmented and doesn't have the hold that it used to. So now kind of back to this Americana, kind of back to the rootsy sort of guitar picking that I've always been really fond of. And while we were working within that new acoustic thing, I really wasn't able to do it that much. You know, they were kind of the executives and the people going, okay, well, that's great, but we kind of want this sort of sound a little bit more. And we could deliver it, but it's just kind of interesting to see where it's all kind of come back full circle again for me.
Yeah. Well, what about if we're going to need some music pretty soon? Yeah. Do you have a non-neurotic sort of piece to play?
Sure.
Yeah.
What is
sweet potato? Sweet potato, that's
about as good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and good. And sweet potato will get us into a fun thing. Let's hear the sound, and then we'll talk about where the sound comes from.
Sure. This is a song that sweet potato, of course, is the another name for ocarina, which is the instrument that I'll be playing on this one. It's a double ocarina, which is unusual. And we put this on one of the releases Eric and I have done, a few years ago, called Leap of Faith. And so this was not on Narada, and this is kind of a more up-tempo piece, and it has like kind of a lot of Caribbean type rhythms going on underneath it as well.
Well, good. Let's hear Sweet Potato with Tingsted and Rumble in the studio.
Thank you.
Sweet Potato, played by Tingstad and Rumble in the studio. And I want to start right in displaying massive ignorance here. Is that an existing song?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and just a folk, like what do you call it? A folk song? I mean.
What would that be called?
Oh, no, original piece.
Oh, that's an original.
It's an original.
It's an existing original piece by us.
By you. Okay. Okay. So it's your composition.
Yeah.
So the usual cart horse. You know, how do you work it out? Did you? Does one of you claim actual ownership of it? Did you write it, or did you just put it together by improvising it?
Well, I pretty much wrote the melodies to it, and that kind of implies or infers often the kind of chordal structure that'll go under it, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the substitutions wouldn't come in.
Yeah, sure.
But it depends on the piece.
Yeah, and then, you know, I put together the rhythmic, you know, the idea with it. Yeah,
So is this kind of typical of your music that one of you walks into a rehearsal and says, hey, I have this great idea, I have this great tune, and you just start in on it?
Yeah, generally, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, she'll come up with an idea, and usually they'll send it ahead. You know, I'll say, scratch out something, and, and then Nancy will work on it, and then I'll revise for it, and it'll go back and forth.
And sometimes it's just sketches. Like, you know, Eric will send me a bunch of phrases of a riff that he's playing over and over, and then I'll work on some melodies, and then maybe the melody will go somewhere else, and I'll go, well, can you put this kind of a chord in after that? You know, and it just kind of depends on which. Each piece has its own little history, of course.
Yeah. Sure, sure. And to clarify, you're neither husband and wife nor brother and sister. You're musical partners. And have been for 27 years through thick and thin. And we won't get in. Every band gets its thick and thin. I want to instead talk a little bit more about, continue to talk about the styles of music. You know, you talked, Eric, about being about Narada, and you fell into it, so you kind of had to do it. You know, that was what was going on. To what extent are you led by the market? Do you lead the market? Do you find your own voice? Because you're highly successful performers, and you play what people want to hear, too. So tell me about that whole juggle.
Well, I think it's kind of a combination of things sometimes. It depends on if we find a piece of music, and a good example of this would be off of Eric's new release, Badlands, Crying. Now, this is a standard tune that everybody knows and loves, and it's got an incredible melody on it. You know, Roy Orbison made it so famous. And yet it was something that when we played that tune together, it just really worked. And we said, hey, you know, let's do this. We perform it. People love listening to, you know, a piece that they're familiar with. Now, sometimes we'll take a piece of music, and a lot of vocal music does not have a lot of melody going up and down. A singer may stay on the same note, but because the lyrics move you. And so that wouldn't really play well on an instrumental, you know, song. And that's what Eric and I, that's the other thing I think that's really unique about us, is that we're instrumental. Yeah. For years, and I always get a kick out of when people say, you really should get a singer, and it's like, you know, everybody's got a singer. Mm-hmm. What's really kind of fun once in a while is to listen to instrumental, and especially in our genre, I mean, classical you listen to instrumental, jazz you listen to instrumental, but you don't hear it much in poppin'.
Yeah, yeah. Which, of course, even leads into the question of, the impossible question of, what's the one word definition of your style, your genre? There is none, is there? Have you had to create one-word definitions of what you guys do?
Almost two-word definitions, you know, melodic, instrumental. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably on the fringe of what you might be able to call instrumental Americana now, because our sound really, even though we play some stylings from around the world, it still sounds like an American interpretation. And, you know, obviously my guitar roots are in the Americana thing, but Nancy, having grown up in Texas and being so familiar with so much roots music, Irish, you know, American Irish music and stuff that she really treats, I think she treats her instrument more like a folk instrument, you know, than, well, not more than a classical instrument, but, you know, leaning towards. Towards
well, Nancy mentioned the Roy Orbison tune on your new album, Crying. Let's go ahead and hear that. It'll take us up to the top of the hour. My guests, Tingstad and Rumble, they're playing tomorrow night in Sandpoint.